by Diggs. Stay up! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! 30! No! 10!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the All 32 podcast. Who are we? We're just a bunch of regular NFL fans from across the UK. All 32 is primarily a blog full of written content by the fan, for the fan, because the fan knows best. Before the podcast this week, I'd like to be a little bit cheeky and ask if you enjoy the podcast to share it across social media and with your friends. It would be much appreciated as well if you give us a review on iTunes. So this week I am joined by my co-hosts Sean and Lee. Gents, what a weekend of championship football we had. First of all, did you both enjoy it, Sean?
Yeah, absolutely brilliant, mate. After what I thought was a little bit of a disappointing week previous, to get both games into overtime, both competitive games. Really, really enjoyable, thoroughly entertaining games, both of them. So looking forward to discussing them in a bit of detail shortly.
Lee, what about yourself? Do you enjoy them both?
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I mean, certainly an upgrade over the weekend previous. Might not have picked the right results, but definitely enjoyed watching the games.
So you even enjoyed the Patriots winning and Tom Brady cementing his status as the greatest of all time.
I'm selling myself on maybe they just win one more and leave.
Leave forever and ever. Go
on. That's right.
Into the distance they ride.
That's right.
I'm going to be watching that game with a Patriots fan, so that should make for entertaining viewing anyway. So on to the game. So this week we had the Saints at the Rams. Well, the Rams at the Saints even. Sean, how would you summarise that game in about 30 seconds?
I just think it's a shame that it will be remembered for the call at the end of the game. I think overall, I thought the Rams did a superb job. Obviously, when the Saints went up by 13, you sort of thought the writing was on the wall, but absolutely brilliant display, in my opinion, from the Rams. I thought Jared Goff did a lot more than we probably all gave him credit for. The running game wasn't as big a factor as we thought it would be, and the Todd Gurley situation will be an interesting one to watch in the next 2 weeks. But I think a quick summary for me is that the best team ultimately won the game. Refereeing decisions are part and parcel week in and week out. I think we're in very dangerous sort of territory when people are asking for games to be replayed or restarted from a certain position. You have to take the rough with the smooth, unfortunately. It is a shame it will gloss over what for me was a brilliant Rams display and a thoroughly deserved win.
I think by focusing on the decisions or that no call at the end, which was completely no call, there's no point focusing on those because the Saints just weren't good enough. The end of the third, not the end of the third and the fourth quarter completely, they just weren't offensively doing anything. It just seems like they completely switched off, and it was just the Rams were the ones putting the points on the board and the Rams were the ones moving the ball. Even with 2 minutes to go, the Saints could have won that game. They could have just run some clock off, allowed the Rams to burst some timeouts. But instead, Sean Payton was overly aggressive play calling. Okay, they could have got a flag on one of those plays, but it's free throws. So 20 seconds off the clock and didn't make the Rams use any timeouts. Rams 1 minute 40, easy job. Lee, what was your opinions on that game?
I got to agree with you guys. I don't think there's don't think you can focus on the non-call as bad as the call was. You know, any other week of the season, the Saints put that game away in the first quarter and this is a complete non-issue. I think my biggest sticking point was with the game is Sean Payton's absolute sort of bullheadedness with leaving Taysom Hill in and taking a playmaker off the field. The more I watched it, the more angry I got about it, because I just thought you're losing a wide receiver, a running back, or a tight end to bring in a quarterback who essentially isn't doing anything. And taking the ball out of Drew Brees' hands.
There was one odd call where he was playing at quarterback and Brees was out wide and then they quickly switched around. But then at the same time, there was the other play where Taysom Hill actually caught it and went in. On plays like that, he's brilliant. But the plays where they're trying to make him almost play quarterback, it's like Brees was red hot and that almost killed the momentum of them completely in that half and almost killed the Saints.
It just seemed like they were trying to use that sort of gadget play too much. It has its place, and I know, you know, not disputing the fact that it works, just the percentage of plays that he was in on. You're taking the ball out of what we've had, we've actually spoken about here, is one of the MVP of the league's hands to do that. And I don't know, in the biggest game of the year, that would be, if I was a Saints fan, that would have irked me as much as anything else that's happened in the game.
Yeah, agree completely. Do we just think then, in summary, quickly, that the Saints were just out-coached in this game? Because the Rams' second half adjustments were clear to see, especially on defense. It completely altered the game when the Saints were in total control first half, looking like it was en route to Atlanta, looking good. And then Wade Phillips' defense adjusted, stopped the Saints from getting anything. The offense looked even tidier and better and just seemed to carry on. Sean, do you think that's a fair assessment?
I think so, mate. I think there's a huge amount of credit that's got to go to Wade Phillips. I think, you know, not just at halftime. I think you look at Michael Thomas, who's had a phenomenal season. I think it was 4 catches for 36 yards. You know, the only offense that the Saints seemed to generate in the second half was on the first drive when it was all running backs. And I think, as much as anything, that I agree with everything Lee said on the Taysom Hill situation. I think he was almost desperation in an attempt to move the ball. Outside of one big play to Ted Ginn, which, you know, really should have been broken up and possibly intercepted, there wasn't an awful lot of offense, certainly after the third quarter. So, like I say, for me, the best team did win. You know, definite now call, not disputing that. So, certainly not going to hear me arguing that it should have been flagged. You would argue if the defender had actually played the ball, it would have been a pick six anyway, and that would have been game over in a different direction. So, like I say, thoroughly deserved, mate. I agree with your assessment of it.
No, brilliant. So moving on to the Chiefs at the Patriots. This was on a horrendous time for UK viewers. It kicked off just after 11:30, and I believe it ended around 3:00 in the morning. I'll admit to not being a soul that stayed up for that game. I have watched the game in 40, and I have to say, over the course of the whole game, it seems the Patriots deserve to win. On the overtime drive alone, there was a couple of third down situation, so it's third down and long, and Tom Brady does Brady things, finds Edelman on 2 or 3 occasions on third and long, picks it up, keeps the ball moving, and eventually they punch it in for the win. Did either of you manage to catch the highlights of this game or even stay up? Lee, I know you were talking about staying up to at least half time. Did you do that, and what were your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I stayed up till half time, and the Patriots were up 14-0. I got to be honest, I thought the Chiefs in the first half got out-coached. The Patriots did whatever they wanted. I mean, they were able to scheme guys wide open. I'm not. This isn't a sort of biased opinion where I want to have a dig at the Patriots, but I expect any quarterback in the league to hit some of those players. They were wide open. And we discussed it here last week, and we said the Patriots will take away your biggest weapon. Well, the easiest way to do that is to not let Patrick Mahomes play in the first quarter, because they only played against him really for 3 quarters of the game, because the Patriots took up that whole first quarter with one long drive that ended in points. And to be honest, should have come away with a second one. The pick is a bad throw from Brady. And actually, I think if they scored there, everything was going against Kansas City at the time. I think they could have turned into an ugly game. The pick six, I think, saved them.
No, definitely. A fair point from the highlights I've seen. It seemed that the Patriots just completely took away Tyreek Hill as well. He was a complete non-factor in this game. So Sammy Watkins looked more dangerous than perhaps people were used to, because the Chiefs had no other option. They had to go to Watkins, which I think is credit against this, just the job that Patriots do on the coaching side of thing. And we could talk about their quarterback rotation is just putting in next man up. And it just seems to be every week and every year, that defense, doesn't matter who you've got on it, just seems to step up and do a great job. Sean, did you manage to catch any of this game, and what were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I ended up actually staying up to about half time myself, watching it live as well. Impressive first half from the Patriots again, similar to the previous week. Got to agree, in terms of coaching, we've said it time and time again, no one's going to out coach Belichick, and once again, he got a perfect game plan and scheme drawn up. I've watched all the highlights this morning, and I think the one thing for me that stood out in the second half was the Chiefs' willingness to actually push the ball down the field. Mahomes went a little bit more off script, made some ridiculous throws, which I think really just highlight how exciting a prospect he is. And I'll use the word prospect because he is still on his first year. Let's not forget that. But a few of the throws that he made, whether it was sidearm, whether it was a deep bomb to Tyreek Hill, who did, you know, grab one out of the air. Like you say, Sammy Watkins had a nice game as well. Just a phenomenal offensive explosion in the fourth quarter from both sides. I think, you know, the score going into about the last 5 or 6 minutes was about 17-14 and it ended up 31 apiece going into overtime. So, shame I didn't stay up until the end because that would have been an exciting few minutes of football to catch live. But certainly an entertaining game. I know that the debate today has been around the overtime rules. You know, we've had a bit of a conversation about that during the course of today as to whether it's right, wrong or indifferent. The reality is, whether we like it or not, they are the rules that we're playing to. And, I mean, what a majestic drive from Brady. You said so yourself, Chris. Three occasions where I think it was 3rd and 8 or longer. 2 to Edelman, 1 to Gronkowski. And, you know, ultimately, you know, we shouldn't be at all surprised that they're in the Super Bowl yet again. The only thing that is probably surprising is we've sat here for the last 5-6 weeks discussing MVP candidates and the name Tom Brady has never come up. And yet again, he just, you know, goes out there and shows what an absolutely phenomenal talent that he is. And, you know, I know the Patriots get a lot of stick and we've sort of added to that in terms of having a little bit of banter about it. We're all just jealous, simple as, you know, they are the best team with the best quarterback and the best coach. You know, so fair play to them and, you know, a really intriguing Super Bowl matchup ahead.
I couldn't agree more. I was driving home from work today and I was thinking, man, I am jealous of what the Patriots are and everything about that organisation. Because I was thinking about how I'm going to be watching this with a Patriots fan in 2 weeks' time. I was thinking, he is going to be having another great night. And I can't imagine what the excitement, the nerves of that great night must feel like. And how after 9 times is it now, last couple of years, how that must feel. Like, that's just, it's just incredible the run they're on. And they might be well remembered in 20 years' time as the greatest stretch of dynasty sort of had. And that all comes down to a coach and quarterback combo, which have really got the same page. There's reports of Brady going around the locker room telling everyone that he was the man. And I think for a 41-year-old to be doing that is quite incredible.
Yeah, I think the worrying thing for Lee and probably for all of us is we've sort of speculated whether number 6 would end in retirement. He doesn't show any signs of wanting to give it up.
He looks he looks like he could outrun all of us, and Brady's a slow man. Like
that probably says more about us than it does about Brady, to be fair.
Don't steal my hope.
Lee's still hoping that he can one day play quarterback. or any position. So to wrap up the reviews, I'm guessing we're all in agreement here that the best two teams on this weekend certainly went to the Super Bowl, if not the whole season.
I would say so. I think on the NFC side, I thought home field advantage would be key, and like I say, for the Rams to go into that building and do what they did was massively impressive. You know, so I'm sort of really interested to see how they get on in 2 weeks' time. And we've said all along, if you're going to be the AFC representative, you're going to have to get through New England. And here's another season that no one's managed to do that. So I think it's a really intriguing matchup and it could be an excellent Super Bowl.
And Lee, what about yourself? What did the best two teams get there in the end?
Yeah, I think the best two teams. I don't think you could have had any arguments with the teams that got there. And if the games had actually finished the other way, I think we'd be sitting here saying the same thing. I think we ended up with the best four teams playing last night. And, you know, whoever came out on top definitely deserved to be in this game. They played the biggest game on the biggest night so far. I actually have some concerns about the Super Bowl matchup. I don't think they match up well, these teams, but that's maybe for later on.
So you say that as a Dolphins fan having concerns, we can guess which way you'll be picking in next week. Moving on nicely to our article review, we've done something a bit different this week. So Friday evening, we decided that we'd do something a bit different, spend all of our evenings in. None of us have a social life, apparently. We decided that we would do a draft of some sorts based around the upcoming Pro Bowl this weekend. So not strictly in line with the Pro Bowl, where the best players from any teams can be selected and multiple players in the same teams can go and play together in what is basically a carnival and sort of all-star game. We decided that we would pick a player from each team, so the position dependent, but we could only have a max of one player from a team, and we had to construct a roster each. Sean Lee, how difficult was this after it sounded relatively easy? Lee?
Now, this sounds like a lot of fun to start with until you're stuck with picking one player from each team. Then it becomes incredibly difficult, especially after you make a few picks and you look at the boards. You're like, well, how are they still left there? I want that guy on my team. And you're like, I can't take him. I've already taken X.
Sean, what about yourself? What were your thoughts when you go for it?
Yeah, got to agree, mate. It was very difficult. I started off with some elaborate strategy and loads of different players written down, and that was all blown out the window by about the sixth pick. So it ended up as a bit of a mix and match, but thoroughly enjoyable. I'd recommend anybody doing it. I know you put an article out there, Chris, explaining it, and it'd be good to see other people's teams if they do follow the exercise, because we had a good bit of fun with it. So, you know, hopefully our listeners will enjoy the next 15, 20 minutes as we try and make the pitch for our teams being the best.
I couldn't agree more. So hopefully the rules are clear. If not, please go and look at the article and read the rules. They're probably a bit more clear than I have made out. There were many times when we were doing it where Sean and Lee were asking me questions to see if they were actually inside the rules. So first things first, I'm going to read out, not the teams, I'm going to read out where the players are picked from. So if you're a Buffalo Bills fan, Detroit Lions, Jacksonville Jaguars, or a Oakland Raiders fan, I'm afraid none of us fancied any of your players and none of them were picked. So we would love to apologise, but they just weren't deemed good enough. If you're a Cincinnati Bengals or a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, only one of your players was picked. If you're a Denver Broncos, Green Bay Packers, Miami Dolphins, Lee, what are your Dolphins doing on this list? New York Giants or New York Jets or Seattle Seahawks? Two of your players picked. For every other team, there were three players picked. So at least one player on each of our teams. How much did a team's performance this year play a part on how you went about selecting players, Sean?
So I talked about my elaborate strategy, and the first thing I did was list the eight teams that I thought I wouldn't want to pick a player from. And some of the teams that you've mentioned there, I stuck to that strategy. We did try and do it based on this year's performance. That's another thing just to point out to listeners, not an historical, what's this player done in his career? This was very much on the 2018-2019 season. So that was my first sort of idea to try and do it that way. Obviously worthwhile pointing out, though, that, you know, there is still obviously some premier talent on some of these teams. So, you know, the Bucs, for example, you know, I think it's Mike Evans that got picked up. I don't think anybody would complain about having Mike Evans in the side. So not that all the players are bad, just in general terms, that was what I tried to do, pick eight teams that I didn't need to go shopping in.
No, that makes complete sense. Lee, tell us a bit about how you approached it and your strategy, or was it a case of just picking players and hoping?
This is a case of complete chaos. And this is how I assume some teams actually are draft day, where you're just flying by the seat of your pants. Every time I thought I had some sort of plan in place, I'd look up and someone had taken my guy, even if I thought it was kind of obscure. So it's interesting to see how everyone watches the league in kind of almost the same way, even if they're teams that we don't see on TV every week.
That's certainly interesting. I went with I had a better strategy than both of you. I'm not going to lie. I went for the players on the teams I didn't fancy first. So I noticed in the 49ers, I only saw that I really wanted one player. Got him on my first pick. Green Bay Packers, again, only really fancy one player. Got him on my second pick. So I made sure I got the players from teams at this point, I didn't have a clue which teams I wouldn't pick from. So I thought it was quite interesting that Sean had almost labelled seven or eight teams as completely out of the picture to start with. I think that's quite an interesting strategy. Sean, we're on the article, we've not given it away because we only want listeners to know who took who. you were lucky enough to get the first overall pick. Do you want to tell everyone who you took with that first overall pick?
Yeah, so my defensive player of the year, Aaron Donald, was the first pick. And the reasoning for that, in my opinion, was a little bit of trying to look at positions and sort of say, you know, if he's the best, who's the second best, and how much of a drop-off is there? So quarterback, for example, I'd have been quite happy with any number of quarterbacks, but I thought defensive tackle, probably not a premier position on the field as such, don't get me wrong, but I thought he was, you know, by far the best option that was available, and I thought it would be a significant drop-off to anybody else, so that's why I went with Donald in that spot.
No, that's a good explanation. Lee, you then followed up with your first pick. Do you want to tell everyone who you took, and then I'm going to tell you what I thought after you both had done these moves?
So, yeah, I pretty much decided who I wanted before we started this process. I knew who I wanted my number one pick to be. And luckily enough, Sean didn't take him. So I took Todd Gurley with my first pick. And to be honest, there's no deeper thought put into it than if I had to go and pick someone to be on my team right now, that'd be my first guy I'd go and get. So I figured it's my team. That's what I'm going to do.
See, I saw you both do this. So for our listeners, they went back-to-back LA Rams. Now, we're only allowed one player per team. So straight away, I could bookmark someone on the LA Rams, the third best player as such. And I don't think anybody would argue that they are the best two players on that team. So I could have the free selection, the third best player on the Rams team, which quite quickly played into my strategy that I had. So I went for George Kittle out of the 49ers. I got myself who I deem as the best tight end of the league. I was like, here we go. I've done it. I've got the free choice of any LA Ram, and I've got the tight end I wanted. So it was quite interesting, straight off the board, two Rams go off the board, both going to be featuring the Super Bowl, so perhaps you've both made the right choice. Sean, your next picks, you decided to go a bit different from household names, I'd say. Do you want to talk us through them before we then sort of change and talk about our teams as a whole?
Yeah, can do. Just before I go any further, though, it's becoming quite apparent after 2 minutes of conversation, Lee, that we've just been set up for this entire article, mate. This is what's coming to fruition, isn't it? We've been royally screwed over here by our co-host. So, yeah, my second pick was for Stephon Gilmore. I think he's had a phenomenal season. Got beat deep once on a play last night, but I mean, obviously, you know, that's going to happen across the season. I think he's been really good this year in pass coverage. And again, looking at the Patriots roster, you know, again, there would have been a few players I would have been happy enough with. But he, for me, was the one that I had sort of earmarked as one that I wanted. The next one, to be fair, probably in hindsight, maybe it was a reach and certainly a position that I didn't need to go with that early, but again, in my opinion, best centre in the league, Jason Kelce from the Eagles. Again, just sort of looking at that Eagles roster and thinking, if I didn't pick Kelce, who would I be happy with? You know, so that was the reasoning behind them. I just thought they were the two players from those respective teams that I wanted more than anybody else on those teams.
No, it makes total sense. And I actually saw you take Jason Kelce, and I immediately thought, oh, crap, I'm going to have to go O-line now because I'm worried I might not be able to get some of the guys I wanted. So I followed that up with two of my next four picks being O-line, and it was Pouncey out of Pittsburgh and Yanda out of Baltimore. I decided, right, those are the guys I want. Two great, great players. Let's have them. So I'm now going to go through your teams, or through the teams. So, Lee, I'm hoping you have the teams in front of you. Do you want to talk us through your offense?
Yeah. I'm pretty pleased with it, to be honest. If these guys were lining up in Dolphins uniforms on Sunday, I'd be happy. that's absolute dreamland. I found this quite interesting because I had some names that I wanted to take and I did take them. But then I found when it came to O-line, like you just said, then I had a bit of an issue because I was like, oh, really? I want to go and get Mike Pouncey. Oh, I can't do that. I've already taken someone else in San Diego, from Los Angeles. So those things sort of played into my my roster a bit later on. I think it probably shows along the O-line. But yeah, I was pretty happy. I was happy to get Laremy Tunsil because, to be honest, this is my own personal crusade because I think it was an absolute travesty that he was not voted to the Pro Bowl.
No. So do you want to just read out your team and then Sean can talk about his offense?
No problem. So unfortunately, I've got Tom Brady at quarterback. And then then I've got Todd Gurley, DeAndre Hopkins, Juju Smith-Schuster. And I went for a flex. Now, interestingly, you guys obviously went running back. I went with Tyreek Hill. I took Eric Ebron at tight end. Then I had Tunsil at tackle, Tyron Smith at tackle, Joel Bitonio at guard, Brandon Brooks at guard, and Ryan Khalil at center.
No, that's brilliant. I really liked the selection of Tyreek Hill. I was considering him myself. So at one stage, Sean had already taken a chief, and I thought, all right, who do I take? Do I go now, or do I short go for a chief? Sean went to Tyreek Hill, and suddenly I had the choice of any chief, which included my quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. I think I had the choice of any Saint and any chief, so I was deciding which combo do I want. Do I want Alvin Kamara and Patrick Mahomes, which I ended up with, or do I want to go for a combo from this with the Saints with Breeze at quarterback and another Chiefs player? Sean, do you want to read out your team and your thoughts on some of those?
Yep. So Andrew Luck at quarterback, Christian McCaffrey running back, wide receivers Michael Thomas and Devontae Adams. My flex was Saquon Barkley. Tight end Kelsey has been mentioned. Two tackles were Jake Matthews and Riley Reiff. Two guards, Zach Martin, David DeCastro, and center Jason Kelsey. So I was, interestingly enough, the first person to take a quarterback. The way that my roster was being constructed, I had used a lot of the teams that have got the sort of top-end quarterbacks, if you like. And when I picked Andrew Luck, it was looking around and thinking, if I don't take him, I'm going to end up with somebody bang average. So I'm still very happy with that as a selection. I think I've got, in again, it's only my opinion, the best wide receiver in the game this year in Michael Thomas, best tight end in Travis Kelce. And I think the interior of the line certainly is good. Tackle was probably the weakest point. Last pick of the draft was mine, and it was a tackle. Trying to scratch around to find a tackle from one of the remaining teams. But overall, certainly pleased with it. And like I say, I think he's got plenty of balance and plenty of explosion.
That's fair comments. I did look at your O-line and wonder how that would actually work out. I was like, oh, I think I've got the best O-line here. So I'm going to start with my O-line. I'm going to big my own team up. Vote for Team C. I had David Bakhtiari at tackle with Taylor Lewan. I think they both had great seasons. They're the rare Titan and rare Packer that I would actually take. In particular, speaks for himself. He manhandles people on a rookie year. One of the few rookies we had here. So we didn't have any rookies, despite a lot of good rookies around the NFL. And I had Pouncey at center from the Steelers. So I think I put together the best wide receiver duo, Julio Jones and Mike Evans. I then had Alvin Kamara in the slot, in flex, and George Kittle at tight end. Put into that, Patrick Mahomes and Ezekiel Elliott. I think my offense was absolutely frightening. Why would you disagree with me, Lee?
Because mine's better. I think it's really hard to look at these I mean, these are obviously all Pro Bowl guys, really. Very few of them didn't actually get selected to the Pro Bowl. I think Laremy Tunsil might be the only guy. So it's hard. I mean, I would say your O-line's probably the best. Like Sean said, he kind of left his till last, and I ended up with two left tackles. So, you know. Which is great on paper. The names look good, but not necessarily if you put them out on the field next to each other.
No, I think it was very interesting, the breakdown of offense versus defense as well, because at one stage I had most of my offense and Sean had most of his defense. So we're now moving on to Sean's defense, which I think on paper might be the best. Sean, talk about your defense.
Yeah, so we talked about my O-line being weak. I think you need a good O-line to get past this lot that I've picked here. You're talking about some serious pressure, some serious sack numbers. JJ Watt, Miles Garrett on the edge. We've already mentioned Aaron Donald with the first pick. DeForest Buckner was the 49er that I took. He's had a great season. Linebackers, Bradley Chubb, Ryan Kerrigan, both with double-digit sacks, and Bobby Wagner in the middle. Talks about Gilmore already in terms of playing corner. Also picked up Kyle Fuller there as Chicago Bear led the league in interceptions. And then Derwin James at the back end, I think, has been phenomenal as a rookie for the Chargers this year. And I actually surprised myself with the selection of Budda Baker, but I think out of all the Cardinals that I've watched this year, I think he is a good piece that they've got at the back end of that defense. It wasn't necessarily the defense that let Arizona down. They didn't get whacked in any game in particular. So I think defensively, I might give you the offense, mate, but I think you're going to struggle to beat that defense.
You'll hear my case shortly. Lee, give us your case for your defense.
Okay, so we started off with the defensive end position with Danielle Hunter. I've got Melvin Ingram, Geno Atkins, Jarrell Casey, Khalil Mack, Von Miller, CJ Mosley, DeMonte Kazee, Jamal Adams, and Landon Collins. So I actually had the leader in interceptions in the back end of my defense. But
And Marshawn Lattimore. You missed out.
Oh, sorry. And Marshawn Lattimore. That's how good they are. I can still leave Marshawn Lattimore out. So yeah, I think, to be honest, I think my defense is stronger up front than it is on the back end, even though the back end is full of names. I think based on this season, Khalil Mack and Von Miller next to each other is just going to be scary.
Those linebackers, I think you probably did the best job of accumulating linebackers. I think those three, I mean, two of them are absolutely massive names and two of the best players in the league, Von Miller and Khalil Mack. But CJ Mosley had a great year as well. So from comparison, Sean went with Bobby Wagner, Ryan Kerrigan and Bradley Chubb, who all had great years, but Von Miller, Khalil Mack, two of the best defensive players in the league. I think we can all agree there's probably two of the best three defensive players in the league. At least my opinion, Johnny.
To be fair, I shouldn't really say it because it's against my own team. I mean, Von Miller is great, but he didn't necessarily have his best season. And if we were basing it on this season alone, which is why I ended up veering away from taking Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, because he may be one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but this season certainly didn't live up to that. And Von Miller, I think, was a little bit in that category. You know, he was on a subpar team. You know, he deserves to be on a better team than that. But other than that, they're all beasts, so it's fine.
No, nicely well rounded up. So we came to my defense now. So defensive ends, I went for, so towards back end of the draft, I had defensive end to get from a few teams. And like Sean alluded to earlier, when you get to the back end, it's actually really tricky to pick players. So I got to choice of a few teams, but I managed to get a defensive end I had my eye on. Didn't initially have down, but managed to take him here, a great value. Chandler Jones, I think he had an absolutely amazing season. Like Sean said a minute ago, again, the Cardinals' defense wasn't actually that bad this year. And I think Chandler Jones recorded 13 sacks on that team, which, okay, they spent a lot of time on the field, but they weren't ever like a lights-out defense. They were on the field a lot, tiring, and I thought he was great value. I put Clowney alongside him. So I guess J.J. Watt, Sean has got J.J. Watt, I've got Clowney. We've kind of done this quite a lot throughout it. We've all taken one player from a team and someone else has taken his partner. So that was interesting. But I took my two defensive tackles, I was quite happy with Fletcher Cox and Sue. I think they're hard pressed to beat. My linebackers were slightly different. I took one of my favourite players in Luke Kuechly. Joe Schobert, one of my favourite Cleveland Browns. I had to take him. I was very happy that he was there. One pick I think might have shocked a few people and will shock a few people when they read this back is Kyle Van Noy. Actually led the Patriots in tackles. I think he had a great game again yesterday. Really solid linebacker. I think he's an unsung hero as such. Xavien Howard, Lee, what did you think when I took Xavien Howard early doors to stop you from taking who I deem the best Miami Dolphin?
Now, it's funny because, like I say, I'm going to get up on my stool and shout for Laramie Tunsil all day long. So I was always taking Laramie Tunsil, which I suspected no one would take early. But Xavien Howard deserves to be top it. He actually missed 4 games, maybe 5 games, and led the league in interceptions. So, I mean, he deserves all the praise he gets. He's going to get paid a monster contract.
And it would be no surprise to anyone. He's brilliant. Desmond King, I took a cornerback from the Chargers. So you two had obviously taken other Chargers before this pick. And I decided to take Desmond King. I thought another one that was great value. So my defense, I don't think perhaps looks the best, but I think it was great value stat-wise. Eddie Jackson, Harrison Smith rounded it up. Special teams, because they do matter, and we saw a punter make a throw yesterday on a fourth down. Sean, talk us through your special teams unit.
Yeah, so I was left with a clear path to Justin Tucker after you guys had both took Ravens early, so that was a bit of a no-brainer for me. I think he's the best in the game. I think he's had another fantastic season. And obviously, historically, the best that's ever done it. And then in terms of punter, it was a position I left right towards the end of the draft. I think it was my penultimate pick. And I went with Brett Kern from the Titans. I think statistically, he was up over 40 yards a boot. So, you know, more than happy with that. Obviously, I think punter was generally going to go towards the back end of this in all of our teams. And I think I'm right in saying that it pretty much did. So, yeah, quite happy with what I got there.
I think punter was one of those positions I addressed when I knew who I could have secured from other teams in what positions already. So I then took the kicker and punter I wanted. Lee, talk about the kicker and punter you got.
So I made the terrible mistake of leaving these till late, which doesn't sound like such a bad thing because you think, oh, it's a punter and a kicker. I've got plenty of choices. We're only taking three kickers and three punters between us. But once you've narrowed it down by taking everybody else from the teams that you like, you sort of, it leaves you in a bit of a hole. So I ended up taking Andy Lee from the 49ers. He had a good season. Most importantly, he's got the same name as me, so not going to lie, I was in trouble at this point. And Robbie Gould actually had good stats on the year, so that was my pick at kicker, which I was actually pretty happy with, because I say I looked up at the draft board and panicked that I was going to be in a bit of a hole.
See, I mean, that probably tells us a familiar story, because I'm going to join him with that metric as such. Like, I got to my kicker and punter and I was like, Christ, which teams have I got left? Who's the best on there? Jason Myers, I was delighted with picking. I think he's had a great year. And I was seriously tempted at punter to use my LA Rams selection and take Hecker. And then I realised, no, that's a stupid thing to do. Michael Dixon is still on the board. I can go to Seattle and take someone from there. So I ended up with Jason Myers and Michael Dixon. I think we can all agree this was a fun exercise, and it's a lot harder in the moment than a lot of people would realise. So you're constantly thinking, you're constantly evolving your tactic, and you're constantly sort of trying to come up with a strategy while always being two picks behind your strategy. Lee, how would you have changed what you did this time to next if you did this again?
Well, I wouldn't change anything because my team's amazing. No, in all seriousness, I think it was, I found it to be, you almost feel under a little bit of pressure because you watch someone else make their picks. It's, oh God, I'm on the board. So you then start scrambling because if the guy before you takes your pick, all of a sudden, you know, I found myself to be in a little bit of pain. I'd probably just take a little bit longer to look around the board, maybe think a little bit further ahead, because as I say, I ended up with some players that I would have definitely liked to take. There is some great players who have not been picked here that I wasn't able to take sheerly because I saw someone. I was just like, oh God, I've got to have that one, like a kid with a new toy. So yeah, I think I'd definitely take just a little bit longer to plan out a strategy.
No, and Sean, what about yourself?
Yeah, I think as I alluded to, I tried to plan it out and it sort of got blown up, so I wouldn't kick yourself too much, Lee. I don't know how much planning would actually help you. It is a really fun exercise to do. I think, you know, I probably reached, like I say, a couple of positions. I think overall I'm delighted with how it's come out. I think, you know, it'd be a cracking Super Bowl to see any of these teams up against each other if that could ever be done. Obviously, that's fantasy land, as Lee has said. You know, but I think overall, really pleased with it. I'd like it a little bit of a stronger offensive line, but who wouldn't? Overall, like I say, pretty chuffed with how it's come out, mate. Certainly for a first go, but we've got 12 months to practice until the next time, mate. So we'll nail it next year.
We'll probably do this with rookies as well at some point to evaluate the rookie seasons, so we can get homework at the ready for that. That'll probably wrap us up for this article review. We will be putting out a poll shortly, just before the pod is released. You can vote on team A, B, or C, They will be masked until someone listens to this pod. So just a friendly reminder, vote Team C. That is my team. If you fancied Lee's team the best, that was Team B with Tom Brady, the GOAT. Can't believe Lee has taken him. And Sean is Team A with his defensive line of wonders, I'm going to call it, that team. Gentlemen, any final words on the article, which you're only just reading for the first time because we've timed it nicely for the pod, and the week ahead of the Pro Bowl? Are you looking forward to the Pro Bowl?
I think Eddie obviously would be lying if we said we were looking forward to it. It is a little bit of an exhibition. I quite like the skills stuff that they do on the Thursday. That's a bit of good fun. I think the game itself, it's never really that great an event. I would much rather these rosters be out there playing and competing for something meaningful. But great exercise, as I said earlier. It'd be really good to see some others getting involved in it, trying it out and sharing the lineups with us. It'd be great to see what you guys come up with.
No, definitely. And Lee, what about yourself?
Yeah, the same. I don't think you can really look forward to the Pro Bowl. It's just a filler before the Super Bowl. And I think that actually is probably why it's put before the Super Bowl. We need something terrible just in case the Super Bowl is not the best game ever and it will always look better than the Pro Bowl. But yeah, this is a super interesting exercise. So if anyone wants to try this, maybe we could try again and get some more people involved and see what happens.
Yeah, if we've got any more Friday evenings free, we will definitely do that. I think you only have to tweet us and at least one or two of us will be willing to give it a go and willing to try and do it. And we might build different teams. We might try different tactics, probably think about it a bit more. I guess it's just like fantasy where every time you do it, it's completely different and a lot of fun. Gents, that will nicely wrap us up for this week. Where can people find you on social media, Sean?
Yeah, so at All32 Sean on Twitter. Look forward to seeing some of your selections, guys.
And Lee?
I've got the same All32 Lee on Twitter. Yeah, let's just talk about all football because we've had some good conversations, especially the last few days with people discussing the playoffs. And there's a lot to talk about before the Super Bowl.
No, definitely. So you can find myself at All32 Chris or follow the main account at All32 UK. So reminder, All32.co.uk, you're welcome to join, post articles. We will talk about them. Okay, this one was a bit of a setup for a pod because it was an interesting subject and an interesting activity to do. As Sean has said, we would love to see you and your friends attempt it. Give us your screenshots, how you did. Even if you want one of us to join in, we're happy to come in, have some fun. This is great fun, which is always something we will all enjoy. So thanks once again for listening. Goodbye.